Blog Talk Radio.
Stephen A. Smith, who is known for having a unique way of communicating, but who is overly dramatic, very popular. Clearly, you know, the reports are he's making up to $10 million a year. That's what the reports are saying. You know, on one level, I'm proud of him. He's come from nowhere to build an empire at ESPN and to be one of the most sought after sports commentators out there. You know, they lost Skip Bayless and haven't missed a beat. They've lost a lot of their top people, and he's carried the network. So on that level, I'm proud of him. Where him and I don't agree is I think he's full of shit most of the time. And, hey, if that's what you have to do to make money, then so be it, I guess. But I think he's full of shit most of the time, and it annoys the hell out of me. He says I say things, and I don't really care what people think about me. Watch his interviews. Watch when he's interviewing people that he likes, people that he respects, people that he know he needs, and watch how he treats them and talks to them. You know, I think he's a liar. Let's just call it like it is. I think he does care, and I think he knows who he can ruffle and who he can't ruffle. He's got to do an interview with Carmelo Anthony tomorrow. I'm going to watch it because I want to see what he says. But he's careful not to piss people off to the point where they won't come back and feed him information. They won't come back and do interviews with him. He's very careful to not walk that line. So I think he's full of crap. Secondly, he's a liar, like blatant liar. And he never gets challenged or called out for it, ever. And, you know, so he comes out here and, you know, he says things that incite feelings amongst people, and then it gets people to respond, and it impacts what goes on. And it's not just him. I'm picking on him because he's the voice of sports. That's what cracks me up. But it's not just him. It's Max. It's Skip. It's Shannon. It's Colin. It's, you know, Nick Wright. It's Chris Carter. It's, you know, it's all of them. And there used to be a time where the sports profession, the athletes and coaches viewed it as noise. They viewed it as noise, and they didn't care. Now they're responding. Tom Brady just said, yeah, that's stuff for the debate shows when asked about his contract. Tom Brady in Time Against Time had clips of Max Kellerman talking about him falling off the cliff, which means he listens. Which means he listens. You know, LeVar Ball wouldn't be LeVar Ball without these shows. Stephen A. Smith wouldn't be Stephen A. Smith without the Cowboys and without LeBron. Skip Bayless wouldn't be Skip Bayless without the Cowboys and LeBron. These guys have made a massive career and millions of dollars off of saying whatever they need to say to incite an opinion or to incite a reaction or to incite some type of response, because the sheep out there will listen and the sheep will not hold them accountable. And if you think I'm lying, look at our president, because there's the prime example of all of this. Says whatever he wants to say, and, you know, let's not hold him accountable. Let's defend him. Let's excuse it. Let's act like he didn't say it. Well, it's in the sports world, too. They say whatever they want. They're not held accountable. And it's now, you know, trade Zeke. I want you to think about the ridiculousness of that statement. To trade the guy who is your number four pick, who's 24 years old, who in 2 out of 3 years led the league in rushing, and averages 100 yards a game rushing. Okay? You built your entire offense, although originally it was built for Tony Romo. You know, and I still will believe that had Tony remained healthy, the Cowboys would have won at least one Super Bowl by now. So now you've had to rebuild it a bit to accommodate Dak Prescott, who was no Tony Romo. But you built your entire offense around having that home run threat in the backfield. Now you went out and got Amari Cooper, who has shown to be a stud. Right? You went out and made a great deal to get Amari Cooper. So now you have your new triplets. You've got a good quarterback. He ain't great yet, but he's good. You've got a number one receiver who, in my opinion, you know, and I'm always careful. He's definitely a top 15 wide receiver. Top 10, I'd have to actually sit down and start listing wide receivers. Very possibly a top 10 wide receiver. And you've got a top three running back. Dare I say, number one, I'm tired of the Saquon Barkley, you know, that he did it 1 year. Come back, do it again this year. Now Saquon got my attention. Now, did I feel that way with Zeke when Zeke was rookie? Yeah, because Dallas went 13-3 and won a playoff game with a rookie quarterback. So, yeah, I felt that Zeke was a top running back as a rookie because they didn't have Tony Romo like the Giants had Eli Manning back there. And they went 13-3, and the Giants haven't seen the playoffs with Saquon. So he's getting numbers, but what's the impact? Kind of like Barry Sanders. I thought Emmitt was a better running back than Barry because Emmitt was on teams that went and won Super Bowls. What is it? What's good? What's 1,500 yards if it doesn't get you anywhere? And Barry's phenomenal. Barry's a top five all-time back. Phenomenal. But those are hollow, empty yards. What good are you? What difference are you making? And I get it. It's a team game. Don't get me wrong. But that said, you've got a guy like Zeke who you know if they drop eight in the box and you single out Amari Cooper, Amari Cooper's going to beat him. Then you go out and get Randall Cobb, who even at 75%, I think is going to be a better Cole Beasley than Cole Beasley. And look who he played with, Aaron Rodgers. You don't think this guy knows how to run routes and play a game? You got Jason Witten returning. Okay, he's 37. He missed a year. He also didn't get beat up for a year. He's steady Eddie. He's reliable. You got a 3rd-and-2? Now you've got an option. Instead of Zeke up the middle, now instead of that slant, that predictable slant to Cole Beasley, now you've got a tight end that they've got to respect because he will catch the ball. He thought so. So you have all these components, but let's destroy everything and trade Zeke. It is the most asinine thing I can think of. But these guys on these shows, it's what they do. You know, with Colin, I think you get better off trading Zeke because you're going to run him 400 times this year, and then how much life he's going to have. Now, that's a valid concern. But does that mean you don't pay him? Does that mean you don't – I mean, I don't know. I'm sorry, Jerry Jones. Like, you have a history of paying people. Now you got Stephen Jones saying, well, we're not going to reset the market. Well, then what the hell are you trying to do with Dak? Dak's expecting $30 million a year. That's what he's expecting because that's the market. What are you going to do with Amari Cooper? Michael Thomas just got paid $20 million a year, $61 million guaranteed, $20 million a year for 5 years. In comparison, Dez Bryant, when he got his last big contract, it was 5 years. It was $70 million. That's $14 million. Wasn't all that long ago. And now Michael Thomas comes in, and now highest paid wide receiver in the game, $20 million a year. What do you think Amari's going to be looking for? Somewhere up in that category, $17, $18, $19 million. And you're sitting there saying, we're not going to reset the market. Look, guys, do you want to win a Super Bowl or not? I posted somewhere on somebody's Facebook, they were talking about the Cowboys and this, that, and the other. Can the Cowboys win without Zeke? And I said, my kingdom for one season to come into the season with no suspensions, no major injuries, and no holdouts. Can I get that 1 year? We're finally looking at a solid team. We got Randy Gregory, who's been applied for reinstatement, from all accounts, has just been a model person. And put whatever caused that last suspension, it's sounding like it wasn't a relapse. It sounded like it might have been like a missed test or something along that line, but it wasn't that he failed or it wasn't that. It just sounds like he there was something that he committed to in the program. He didn't do what he was supposed to do, and they suspended him indefinitely because that's the terms of reinstatement when he was reinstated. So now he's trying to fix that. I hope he can, because from all accounts, he's been clean, he's been a model teammate, and all of that. So we're at the point where, you know, Sean Lee's back now, you know, got a little injury now, so probably won't see him. But at least his leadership is there, even if he only plays 20 plays a game, even if they limit him because you know, unfortunately, he's not durable. I mean, that's just the reality. But the guy knows how to play, and his impact on those two young linebackers is immeasurable. Our coaches all came back. I mean, we have everything we need to go make a march and win a Super Bowl this year. And then we're going to sit here and arguably the best back in the league, we're not going to pay him, right? We're not going to pay him. Or we're going to sit there and go to the press and say how we can win a Super Bowl without a top, the NFL's rushing leader. It's not about whether he leads the league in rushing or about. It's about what the defenses have to do to adjust to him because they know he's a home run hitter. Every day, I don't care if he leads the league in rushing. I mean, it's a nice bragging point when we're comparing him to Bell and to Gurley and all these guys to be able to say, well, look what he does. Oh, and by the way, last year, he caught 77 balls on top of it for those that said he can't catch out of the backfield like Bell. So while Bell was, you know, on his jet ski partying all year, Zeke was up there rushing for 1,400 yards and catching 77 more balls. But we're going to sit here now and say, we don't need a number one rusher to win a Super Bowl. We're not going to reset the market. That's what the Cowboys are saying. Hey, look, pay the man. You know, I get it. We've had salary cap issues for a long time. You made the decision to turn the team over to Dak, knowing that Tony had gotten paid and you owe Tony a lot of money. You made that decision. That ain't got nothing to do with Dak. That ain't got nothing to do with Zeke. That ain't got nothing to do with Cooper. That ain't got nothing to do with D-Law, who did get paid. Pay the man. If you have it, pay him. If you don't, then talk to him and say, look, we need you to wait one more year. We will take care of you. But we have to take care of the people that are on their last year first. But we will take care of you next year. Put it in writing if you have to. I don't know how this works. But figure out a way to get this man back to training camp. We don't need a repeat of 1993. Emmitt Smith misses two games. Jerry Jones says, oh, shit. We can't do this because we're 0-2. They sign him. He comes back. Cowboys win a Super Bowl. Their second Super Bowl. Now, that's never happened before, by the way. No team has ever started 0-2 and won a Super Bowl except for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't want it to be this year. This team's young. This team needs reps. This team needs practice. They need preseason games. Well, Zeke doesn't, but the team does. Pay the man. But for crying out loud, y'all stop listening to these. Let me listen to the shows. I listen to all the shows. Y'all stop listening to the shows. The shows have nothing to offer you but a bunch of people's opinion that don't know what they're talking about. They should not have any influence on the negotiations. They really shouldn't. Who cares? The man is worth it. He's 24. You pay him. And you went out, obviously, and got Pollard. You just signed Morris. I'd keep him on the roster, even if you bring Zeke back. I'd keep him. Maybe send Darius Jackson back to the practice squad or something. I don't know. But I think you need to be mindful of Zeke's touches so that he's fresh later in the year. I think games where we get bigger leads, if we can go out there and get up 21-0, you know, let's rest Zeke every other possession or something. Let's be mindful in how we manage these things. Kellen Moore, our new offensive coordinator. Like, let's think about that throughout the season. You know, we're up 28-7 in the fourth quarter. Do we need to run Zeke to eat up the clock? Do we really need to do that? Think about creative ways to say to keep him fresh. Now at the same time, Zeke, if there's an incentive that you get bonuses for, you know, leading the league in rushing and things of that nature, you can't have it both ways. You can't hold out because you're afraid that the Cowboys are going to use you up. So I'm trying to get my money now before they use me up, but then say, okay, feed me, feed me, feed me. You can't have it both ways. If your lifespan is 5 to 7 years, then it's 5 to 7 years. Then honor your contract and go out there and play. Keep negotiating. But you are under contract for 2 more years. But, you know, what am I saying? There's no loyalty in this game. Anyway, it's just frustrating. You know, every year there's something. Every year. Can never just have a year where we can just sit back with no issues, stay under the radar. Always got to be something. Now that basketball is done, free agency is done, you know, now that training camp started and now that they're about to get into preseason games, every other topic on all these shows is Dallas Cowboys. It's either Dak, it's either Jerry and Steven, or it's Zeke. And then we get Dez Bryant, who comes out and tweets how, you know, something to the effect of he's not interested in playing football right now. But I don't want you to think that I've retired. I have 2 words, actually probably 3 words. Who cares? Dez, man, you were great when you were with us. You know, you did a lot of good things. You know, there were a few drops you had that had me puzzled. A guy of your talent shouldn't have had the drops that you had at key cards in the game. You know, but you at one point in time, to me, was the best receiver in the game. And there was, you know, obviously there was a debate between you and Julio Jones at the time. But I, at that time, I had my money on you. But your day's done, bro. I mean, you know, Baltimore gave you a contract last year and you turned it down. That was a mistake. You know, the Saints pick you up, what, 3/4 of the way through the season, halfway through the season. You go to one practice and you tear your Achilles. Man, it's over. It's over. I honestly think it's over for Dez. And he could say that he hasn't contacted any teams, but as Shannon Sharp did accurately say, it worked that way. Teams contact you. They've got a big board. You know, they know who's available. And, you know, if somebody is hurt and you know, there's an injury and that person's going to miss time, they go to their board. Okay, who's out there? Who's out there that who's on the practice squad that we can make an offer to? Who's a free agent that we can go and bring in? How do you think the Cowboys got, what's his name, 46, just signed? Morris. Morris was on his way to New Orleans, and the Cowboys caught him before he got there. And, of course, you know, why wouldn't he go back and play for Dallas? He played 2 seasons with them and was relatively effective, you know. But they have names. And so if there is a need, you know, Jones, you know, ankle is damaged. Julio Jones. His ankle is damaged, and he's not going to be in the preseason. So if the Falcons wanted to get some insurance, they could call him. They probably wouldn't, but they could. You know, there's teams out there, I know, that are looking for wide receivers to come in, and my guess is your phone is not ringing. That's my guess. Because you, last year, wanted to be paid like Dez Bryant from 3 years previous. And that day was over. So now you didn't play at all last year, not one game. Now you're saying, I don't want to play. You think you could just, okay, when I'm ready, they'll call me. Well, I'm ready now. Okay. Come on, man. You know, Dez, I mean, I'm sure you've got a lot of, I see you on Instagram with Jay-Z and stuff. And, you know, I see you on, maybe it was Twitter. I don't know where I saw it. I think it was Twitter. But anyway, I've seen pictures of you out there with Jay-Z. I know you're working with Roc Nation. You know, you still have some branding out there being Dez. I mean, you were on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine not that long ago. I'm sure there's business opportunities for you. But it's over. I would be shocked if you got another opportunity. I really would. I just don't see it. So that's all I got right now, guys. I had to vent. I'm annoyed. I just want to go into this season relatively healthy with all the pistons firing in my engine. And then when we have that and we lose, I've got nothing to complain about. Even injuries are part of the game, so you got to kind of deal with the injuries. But when you have suspensions and holdouts, come on. It's just, you know, it's ridiculous. And it's you know, it would just be nice to just start the regular season. I don't really care about preseason. It doesn't matter to me. But it would be nice to start the regular season ready to roll. And we have time. We got a month. So let's see what happens. So I'm going to get on out of here. I hope I entertained you at least for a little bit. I'll be, you know, we'll be back on the air soon. I'm going to reach out to the fellas and see when they want to do a show. And, you know, I hate Tuesday nights because I feel like by the time we get, you guys get to us Tuesday night, everything that needs to be said has already been said, except we can't do Monday nights because of football. So I don't know what to do about that. But I do feel like by the time you get to us on Tuesday night, it's over. Like you've heard all the Sunday talk on Monday, and then the Monday game you've heard on Tuesday. So by the time you get to us Tuesday night, what's left? What's left for the Madden boys to talk about? So I'm gonna give that some thought. The Madden video game will be coming out soon. I've never seen it get so much airtime with the ratings and you know, Coach talking about he looks like someone from The Walking Dead. And you know, I'm not in that side of the business any longer. It's just not for me any at this stage in my life. It was good while it lasted. I enjoyed. I still have a lot of great relationships over there. I still keep in touch. As you guys know, K-Star is co-host of the show, and he's still very involved. I still keep in touch with a lot of the players that I know and have met, you know, through social media, some of the new, young, up-and-coming guys. But as far as me being a part of it on a day-to-day basis, that'll never happen. I don't have the interest. I don't have the desire. But it's interesting on the outside looking in to watch. And it's kind of interesting to feel like a lot of things that the Madden game has turned into today, that the EAFL, which was the league that I ran, and some of the people that came through the EAFL influenced. I mean, there's a guy that works for EA Sports, and his introduction into the Madden game was my league, S. Gibbs. And S. Gibbs does manuals now for EA Sports. Well, years ago, S. Gibbs' introduction into the Madden game was being a member of the EAFL. And then S. Gibbs decided to do a TV show in the studio, asked me what I thought. I thought it was dumb. Didn't think it was going to work. Shows how much I know. It actually blew up. So, hey, I can be wrong, too. The omniscient one can make mistakes. And he parlayed that into, you know,
Thank you.